47 miles of barbed wire. I use a cobra snake for a necktie. I got a brand new house on the roadside, made from rattlesnake hide. I got a brand new chimney made on top, made out of a human skull. Now come on, take a little walk with me, Arlene, and tell me, who do you love? Who do you love?
That's Who Do You Love by the man who helped create rock and roll, Bo Diddley. Passed away on this day in 2008. And I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back here to the Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We're now joined by Kavitha Davidson, who we first met in New York City when Melissa Harris-Perry, when she did the segment with David Zirin, and she's a Bloomberg View sports columnist writing some really interesting stuff, and joins us here today. And Kavitha, welcome. Good to have you with us. Hi, Kavitha.
Hi, hello.
How are you? All right, we got you.
Yeah.
Well, let's use the old-fashioned technology, telephones.
Absolutely.
It works. So I tried to outline a bit in my own feeble way about what was going on with FIFA and introduced you as well. So talk about this is interesting to me that it's the United States Department of Justice that decided to take these indictments against this international case with Switzerland against FIFA. So why us? Why America?
There are actually a lot of answers to this question. What the DOJ will tell you is that a lot of these alleged transactions occurred on U.S. soil. A lot of these meetings to set up these bribes occurred on U.S. soil, and furthermore used U.S. financial institutions to facilitate these wire transfers and whatnot. I think that that's going to actually be one of the more interesting things to come out of this, because DOJ said that it would look into these banks to see if anybody there had any knowledge that they were being used for this illegal activity. So whatever might come out of that, I think, would be ancillary but super interesting. The other answer to that question is, frankly, we don't have an emotional or, frankly, huge economic attachment to the game of soccer,
right,
the way that other major Western countries and other major countries with the kind of resources that we do for this kind of investigation have. So politically and publicly, it's easier to sell something like, taking down soccer's global governing body if we don't have, if we don't think that that's really a terrible thing. Now, on the other hand, we still haven't been able to fight the NFL on several things because of our emotional attachment to football. So I think that's a major factor in all of this.
But one of the things, the man known as Sepp Blatter, who is the president of FIFA, has been for a long time. Throughout the years, people have said that he is at the heart of this corruption. I mean, I think that our friend Dave Zirin said it's the Enron of sports, and that he quoted Andrew Zimbalist, who wrote the book Circus Maximus, the economic gamble behind hosting the Olympics and the World Cup, who said, quote, FIFA executives have run an almost unmanageably corrupt organization. Sepp Blatter, as I just said, was president of FIFA, has been the grand choreographer, chief enabler, prime instigator, and main beneficiary of a system since 1998. It's time to take down Blatter himself. But he was not indicted.
He was not indicted.
And reelected.
And he was reelected. Now, I think, everyone kind of knew that election was a bit of a sham.
It's really interesting the way that Blatter's support divides along FIFA. It's very geographic, and there's a whole dynamic there where it's very much developing nations against the West, because they basically, these developing nations who are now enjoying a lot of support for developing soccer in their countries from Sepp Blatter kind of feel that, well, these Western nations have already got their programs up and running and are very successful and also, oh, by the way, benefited from their own corruption over the years. They're not innocent in any of this whatsoever. So there's a lot of, you see these nations and you see Sepp Blatter himself playing the race card a lot when it comes to, U.S. imperialism, the West coming after developing countries who are maybe engaged in some unsavory practices, as they're accused of being. But this is more widespread than any of that. This is, we will start to see coming out in the next several months, many, many more, I believe, many, many more indictments, much more evidence coming out against how widespread this is. DOJ, in their press conference, were very careful to say, this is the beginning of all of this. This is not the end. We're not even done, investigating this. And if you look at the way these 14 indictments came down, It started with a tax investigation into former CONCACAF Secretary General Chuck Blazer, and then he became a cooperating witness and pled guilty, and three other people did as well, and they were able to turn their testimony into these indictments for these 14 individuals. Now, some of these people are very high-ranking. One of them is the vice president. One of them is the head of CONCACAF right now, and they will, the DOJ investigators will try and mine them for something that they can get on Blatter that will stick.
So, and that's the American Soccer Association,
North American, right?
So I mean, but this goes fairly deep. People have always speculated that both in the case of Qatar and Russia, that deals were cut for people to make money to get these two cities to be the next sites of the World Cup, and that you wrote in your piece about thousands of workers have been killed in the process of constructing these international stadiums.
Yeah, and it's really a shame that, you know, thousands of migrant workers dying isn't what's going to ultimately cause these sponsors or, you know, whomever the broadcasters as well to kind of speak out about this. It will take even a bigger PR disaster led by perhaps the U.S. government to force that to happen. In the original indictment that we saw last week, there was a fairly substantial evidence that the voting process for South Africa to receive the World Cup was mired in controversy and corruption and bribery. And DOJ has said that they're going to, you know, take that very seriously and now take that and look at Russia and Qatar as well. On the other side, FIFA is standing tall and saying, you know, we're not going to re-vote. And the other side of that is that the European Soccer Federation, UEFA, their head, Michel Platini, is saying that if there isn't a revote, you know, they could boycott one of the World Cups. They could try and organize a side tournament with the European nations. This is going to get ugly before it gets fixed.
And the politics of this huge corruption and multi-million dollars worth of corruption going on here, the political game being played by the people who are international soccer to make this into an anti-imperialist struggle, to be about being in the anti-Eurocentric and in the interests of people of color throughout the world and challenging Eurocentric control. I mean, it's mind-boggling that that this is how it's being played by that group.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a concerted strategy. Sepp Blatter himself, has said time and again, even before any kind of legal trouble came about, that, you know, the accusations of corruption and you know, the problems that people have with Qatar getting the World Cup is just an anti-Middle Eastern sentiment and a racist sentiment. He's not avoided, you know, very overtly saying that. The other side of that is, yes, I think the corruption is much more widespread than the current picture would lead you to believe, you know, because the major informant was the head of CONCACAF and there were a couple also from the South American Federation. The vast majority of these 14 indictments came down in North and South America and would lead you to believe that it's the Caribbean nations and the South American nations that are engaged in most of these activities. That's simply not true. This is the first wave of indictments to come down. But the argument that this is imperialism and racism, while, you know, taken to heart because, you know, soccer is definitely extremely Eurocentric in the way that it's marketed. At the other side of that is that, you know, the money that is coming from these government coffers to actually pay these bribes is actually taking away from public funding for school programs for soccer and for, you know, to help the poor in these developing nations. So it's really disingenuous when you know you're saying that accusations of bribery are taking away from developing soccer in nations that could really use it, because the actual bribery is really accomplishing that goal too.
It just shows to me in some ways the kind of utter disregard that people at the very top of the economic ladder have for everybody else, whether it's the folks who are Europeans and some of their allies elsewhere who are running FIFA and running this kind of very corrupt service that's destroying soccer in some ways, but that some of the criticism of the leadership of European soccer is real.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's very little difference between a corrupt official or a corrupt politician from a rich nation and a corrupt politician from a poor nation. They're both enjoying the fruits of their corruption and at the expense of somebody below them. And this is absolutely something that is as widespread as we believe it to be. And you know, we just need to have a little bit of time and this kind of domino effect so we can start flipping witnesses and start gathering more evidence. And it really does seem that, you know, they're going about this very meticulously. They want these charges to stick. So they're not just going after Blatter. Blatter is the ultimate goal, but they want to have enough support basically to do that, where they can make that actually happen and make a significant change in FIFA's power structure.
And this also involves a lot of international money in terms of development and building stadiums, and it involves the major kind of advertising backers in Coca-Cola and Visa that are trying to now figure out what their responses are going to be.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, these sponsors have been noticeably silent until very recently, until there was a lot of pressure last week after the indictments came down for them to actually speak out. I think Visa had the most strongly worded statement, where they basically said, we've informed FIFA of our concerns, and if something doesn't change radically, then we might reconsider our partnership with them. Now, that's, you know, again, very vague, and we heard the same kind of talk from various NFL sponsors with the whole Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson thing last year, and you know, that ship is still chugging along. So it will be interesting to see what happens with the sponsorship money. As far as the development money for stadiums, you know, that's one of the biggest paradoxes in all of this, because you have officials from a country being bribed and paying bribes for the right to host a World Cup that might bring you some international cachet. And we know, especially in Russia and Qatar, that's very important to Vladimir Putin, and it's very important to Qatar to kind of establish themselves as an international tourist destination. At the same time, you know, there has never really been any proven economic gain from hosting one of these events. Brazil, for example, went into crazy debt in the middle of protests when they still didn't even have money, you know, to pay bus workers, and that was, you know, there were actual infrastructure issues that we have there.
Mm-hmm.
and built several stadiums and didn't see really a dime of that money. FIFA gets all of the World Cup money, and it's kind of a lie that this could be beneficial for a country to host the World Cup.
Well, we're going to be looking at this in some detail in the coming months, obviously, and also looking forward to having you, Kavitha Davidson, back with us and when we have Dave Zirin and our other panels on sports, and having you join that. We look forward to that. Kavitha's Bloomberg View sports columnist. Kavitha, I love your work. Thank you for being with us today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.
You too.
We're going to take a very short break and come right back. And on our way to break, we are hearing Last Night by The Strokes. Fabrizio Moretti of The Strokes was born on this day in 1980. We'll be back to talk about safe streets and why they're having such a positive effect in communities that have been plagued with violence. Stay with us.